You're listening to JTE Movie Thinks. Is that the title? Is that correct grammar? All right, we'll go with it. It's a show about movies and thinking. And now, here's your host, every man's hero, JTE.
Guys, what's going on? JT here with a brand new episode of JT Movie Thinks. This week I got a very special guest. You know, I've had a lot of the schmoes on here, a lot of friends of the show, and we're good friends with the Screen Junkie crew. I even work from time to time. And today I got the one, the only, one of the men responsible for Honest Trailers, Spencer G. Gilbert.
Spencer J. Gilbert is the name, and it is a honor and a privilege to be here.
You're such a G, as a gangster. I wanted to change it to G.
G. Gilbert. Yeah, representing. 50 Cent. Thanks for having me, man.
No, thank you for coming on. I had Nick Mundy on. He was my first Screen Junkie on here. No, and can you
had to talk about, I'm going to guess, Demolition Man?
No.
Rocky IV?
No.
American Ninja?
Something a little more current.
What would he have actually gone to see? San Andreas.
No, this was before that.
Tell me.
You're so close. You're dancing around the subject. Fast 7.
Of course. It was going to be a rock movie or an 80s action movie.
I was like, the guy's basically Mr. Fast and Furious.
Come to life, yeah.
I had a great conversation about that because he told me that his, fiance at the time,
yes,
now wife, thanks to the Screen Junkies and The Rock, he said his wife had not seen the movies up to that point.
Wow. Well, you know, it's important when you're married to each have your own separate lives.
Yeah.
To keep it fresh. But I'm shocked because now she's basically married to The Rock.
Yeah, and she has seen him, and I think that's why the last movie he watched was trying to introduce the movies to her. And I just picture like Nick Mundy waking up every morning, grabbing a cup of, you know, a bowl of cereal, and like sitting there with his fiance at the time, and just I see Fast 7 on all the TVs, just on a loop.
You know, do you think he would have called it off if she didn't like it?
I will ask him that next time he's on the show. All right, so a lot of people, you're kind of behind the scenes of Honest Trailers.
Where I should be, yes.
Yeah, but people have seen you on movie fights.
Yes, that was a new and interesting experience for me to be in front of the camera. But I'm a writer, I'm a comedy writer, and I've written the last 100-plus episodes of Honest Trailers and however many Honest Video Game Trailers there are.
Oh, you do the video game trailers also?
I do.
Wow, very interesting. So Movie Fights was your first time, like, on camera?
Yeah, it's terrifying.
Really? Okay. I am in the same boat with you, because when I joined the Schmoes Know, I came on as a behind-the-scenes kind of guy.
Yeah.
And they very quickly made me a in-front-of-the-camera guy.
Yeah, man. It's like Howard Stern. You can't get away from it.
It took me, you know, I'm still not that great in front of the camera, but I'm much better than I was a long time ago. I could have never done my own podcast 2 years ago.
Awesome, man. Well, yeah, that's why I melt down in the speed round every time. I need time to
really
think. I just need time to put my thoughts together in writing.
I feel like, you know, it's one of those things where, like, you watch it from afar, because I engineer the show, and I'm always, like, yelling in my head like, say this.
Yeah,
but once you're in the hot seat,
it's so different. It's so, man, those much bright different lights. You know, those bright lights, man.
Exactly, because
you feel sympathy for those people on like Who Wants to Be a Millionaire that,
yes,
can't answer, you know, what's the capital of America, of North America, or I'm melting down now too, the USA, and you're like, Des Moines. You just, something changes in your brain when you see the red recording light.
We had the Ultimate Schmodown last year, which is like this tournament of nerds.
Yeah.
We got a few of the Screen Junkies in it this year. And I'll be engineering. I'll be like, how do they not know the answer to this? And the second you sit down, it's just like, because it is the lights.
Yeah.
It's the lights and the people looking at you and everyone, like, you know, there's people listening, yelling at you, like, you know what the answer is? Say it.
It's different, man. So, yeah, commenters, everyone saying, oh, I would have got that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I mean, you might have, but also, things change, man.
Things change. All right, so I explained to you how this show works beforehand. Basically, what I do is I bring somebody on and I say, what's the last movie you watched? I want to know, again, because you worked on Honest Trailers, you probably have to watch a lot of movies.
Yes.
Not all of them good.
I'll give you an exclusive tease for the next Honest Trailer. It's our first Pixar movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, you guys haven't done a Pixar yet.
We've never done a Pixar movie.
I feel like I don't know what it is, and I don't want you to tell me if I'm right or wrong. I feel like Cars should have had an Honest Trailer.
Cars 2?
Cars
the
1
only
or 2.
Whiff of, yeah, of Pixar's whole filmography. Yeah. Well, you know, I won't confirm or deny.
Okay, good. So again, I don't want to know something that you watched, whether it be a screening, whether it be something you had to do for Honest Trailers,
mm-hmm,
or I don't want it to be assignment. I want to know what's the last movie you watched, whether it be you're on Netflix and you saw something, you're like, oh, I haven't seen that in a long time, or I haven't seen this yet, or maybe it's something on your DVD shelf which I think we talked about this once. You're more of into the digital.
Digital, yeah. Yeah, I live in the cloud.
You live in the cloud. I am still very much of the physical. I like to see that Blu-ray on my shelf saying, like, there it is.
Yeah, got to have those extra features.
Exactly.
The EPK footage of the assistant director.
You know what's funny, though? Sometimes I'll buy a new Blu-ray of a movie I've seen a lot of times, and I only buy it for special features.
Yeah. I mean, that's the case with all the other Screen Junkies, Andy and Dan and Nick. But,
oh, really?
No, it's a generation gap. I'm 6 years younger. I just hit that mark where everything I have is
digital, is
on a hard disk. Yeah.
Even your video games?
What's that?
Same thing for video
games? Same thing
for
video games. I'm so happy you don't need to actually have cartridges anymore.
You don't like taking that trip to GameStop?
Beam it. I'll miss the smell, most of all, the GameStop funk.
All right, so here's the question, Spence. What is the last movie you watched from beginning to end?
Last movie I saw, not required by Screen Junkies or as part of my job, beginning to end, was Tomorrowland.
Oh,
the
okay.
Brad Bird feature.
Wow, good. I've seen this.
In theaters, in IMAX.
Huh.
Yeah.
And I think you discussed this a little bit on one of the past... Were you... The last time you were on Movie Fights...
I did talk about it.
Yeah, you did
Fights,
talk
yeah.
about this. Okay. I was trying to remember.
I saw it anyways. That was just of my own volition.
That was your own volition.
My own money. Didn't expense it. Tomorrowland.
All right. I saw this movie in IMAX.
Yes.
I went to AMC Burbank because I live right near there.
Sure.
You know, I usually don't like to see IMAX. Usually I'll skip IMAX unless it's something really... That kind of has my attention. The reason why I went for this is because I am a big fan of Brad Bird.
Yeah.
I love what he did with Mission Impossible.
Iron Giant. Come on.
Yeah, Iron Giant. But Mission Impossible, what he did with those IMAX scenes.
Yes.
Was amazing. So I was like, all right, this guy knows how to use the medium. So I went and saw also the Star Wars trailer I played before, which is awesome.
Oh, so good.
I don't care how many times I've seen it. I get goosebumps every time.
Yeah, yeah.
And let me tell you something. The first time I saw a trailer was on my laptop.
Me too. Right? Of course. Yeah.
And I liked it.
You know, I will say, similarly, the first time I saw the Batman vs. Superman trailer was on that same,
shaky cam. That
whoever filmed it on a potato or whatever. And then I finally saw it in theaters. It wasn't for that. It was for something else. But I was like, you know what?
Yeah.
All the criticism kind of melted away. And I was like, I want to see Batman fight Superman.
Yeah.
It's different when you see it on a big screen.
I totally agree. Like, again, I love that Star Wars trailer. But watching it right before Tomorrowland... It was the first time where I felt like the hair on the back of my neck stand. Like, whoa.
Yeah.
It's Star Wars. And you know why I think that is? Because the prequels, even though they're Star Wars movies, nothing in them really remind you of the original Star Wars trilogy.
No. The names were the same, but everything else had changed.
This one, you're seeing the old, you're seeing the Empire type, the X-Wings. You're seeing the stuff from the original movies because it is a continuation.
Yeah.
I think that's what adds a little bit more to the... Just the goosebump factor.
Yeah, I think so. You don't really have an emotional connection to the glittering chrome spaceship spinning around that you have no context for, except the Naboo.
So, Naboo. So let's talk a little bit about Tomorrowland. I'm going to say something which a lot of my listeners don't know.
Okay.
It's a confession.
Yes.
I'm a huge Brad Bird fan.
Sure.
I have not seen the Iron Giant.
Whoa!
It's the one film of his I have yet to
see. Feel free to unsubscribe. Everyone unsubscribe, post angry comments. That's ridiculous.
I mean, here's the thing. I've seen bits and pieces on TV.
Yeah.
I just never owned the VHS. I missed it in theaters. And none of my friends, for some reason, I don't think have ever owned it. Or it was just never, when you're growing up a movie fan, you have a bunch of friends.
Yes.
And you talk about movies.
Yes.
That's what it's all about. None of my people, my crew... We're really talking about Iron Giant. So it was like, I never felt like I was missing out on anything. But of course, I've heard the acclaim. It's an amazing movie.
It's a cult classic. And, I forgive you. One of my pet peeves is people really getting on each other's case for not having seen a movie.
Okay.
Even if it's good, there's blank spots in everyone's filmography.
Yes.
I can't think of any for myself,
okay.
But I'm sure they're out there.
There's nothing
I'm
out there.
I'm sure I haven't seen every movie.
There's got to be a movie out there.
There's got to be something good that I haven't seen. So I won't give you a hard time. I'll just say, after this, go see The Iron Giant.
Have you seen John Woo's The Killer?
No.
There you go.
Okay, done.
There you go.
Does it have doves?
Of course.
Does it have motorcycles?
It stars a dove.
a dove with two guns spinning around.
That would be a great John Woo animated movie.
One dove, two guns.
Yeah.
John Woo.
Again, The Killer is not the same level as Iron Giant. I understand. It's much more of a cult film.
Yeah.
Actually, they're both kind of cult films, but it's a foreign film.
Yeah.
And most Americans just don't watch foreign films for some reason.
Some good ones.
So I will watch Iron Giant. It's one of those things, I need to see it. I just have not come across. Is it on Netflix?
It's not on Netflix, as far as I'm concerned. But it's like a Pixar movie before Pixar. It's like heartfelt, kids, adults, everyone can love it. I won't spoil anything else about it.
And speaking of Pixar, he is known for The Incredibles.
Yes.
Which I love that movie.
Yes.
I used to say it was my favorite Pixar movie, but it's hard to take away the Toy Stories.
It's tough.
It's so tough. But I remember the year Incredibles came out was the same year the first Fantastic Four movie came out.
Okay.
Because I remember seeing them both in theaters.
I'm so
that
sorry.
Summer. I know, but I remember saying to myself, they made a fucking better
superhero
Fantastic
movie than
Four
the Fantastic
movie.
Four. Yeah,
I know.
And well, the only reason I dock the Incredibles points is because it is like the Fantastic Four. Mm-hmm. Like they didn't come up with new powers. Listen, it's great, but it is a superhero movie.
Yeah.
We've seen superhero movies before. Mm-hmm. Iron Giant, Toy Story. These are completely different experiences in a kid's movie.
Very true. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
So, what's your favorite Brad Bird movie? I'm guessing it's not Tomorrowland.
It's not Tomorrowland. It's got to be The Iron Giant. I'm so sorry.
It's Iron Giant. Oh, God. Damn it.
Yeah. Oh, man. Hogarth.
Is that much better than Incredibles?
I love the setting, and I love like, 2D animation.
Yeah, I understand it.
Like, is it Miyazaki?
Miyazaki.
All that stuff, mm-hmm. like, the hand-painted cell animation that's fading away.
Yeah.
Iron Giant's a little combo of that and 3D, but
it's a little bit, does it have a Don Bluth feel?
Yes, exactly.
Because I love Don Bluth growing up. I mean, Land Before Time, Secret of Nim, American Tale.
Exactly. It's totally, and it takes place in the 50s. There's kind of like a throwback, mm-hmm. or the 60s, and it's just beautiful. More so than Toy Story, when you look at it, you're like, well, the story's amazing, but mm-hmm. it's a little, like, the humans look a little creepy.
Okay.
Andy looks a little terrifying.
Uh-huh. All right, I understand that. So, all right, so we close out, and we got Tomorrowland.
Yes.
His second live-action feature film, which, like I said, I love Mission Impossible 4.
Yeah.
I think it might be the best Mission Impossible 4, in my opinion.
Yeah.
I think 3 is a great, fun ride.
Great villain.
But 4, just for some reason, I don't know, it's all together the best, because it brings back the team aspect.
Yes.
I think Abrams tried doing that in 3.
Yeah.
It didn't work out so much. He brought in Jonathan Rhys Meyers.
Right,
And Simon Pegg was in 3, but he wasn't part of the team.
No.
He was like the scientist.
He was a fun little spice. But now, they embrace the team aspect, and it seems like it's just more fun. It's more of an action movie than 1, 2, and 3, which are a lot of triple, quintuple crosses. Everyone was wearing a mask.
Speaking of John Woo, he directed part 2.
Yes, he did.
A lot of people hate that movie.
I do too.
Okay.
Hate's a strong word.
Hate's a strong word.
I didn't love it.
I enjoy it, because here's the thing. I remember when the first Mission Impossible came out, I enjoyed it.
Oh, I love the first one.
See, I went back and watched it. I still like it.
Yeah.
I don't love it.
Okay.
The second one, I know it's not, it's trying to be something totally different from the first one.
Yes.
It is a summer blockbuster. When that thing came out, I remember seeing it during the summer. I was like, well, this is nothing like the first one, but it's not trying to be.
Well, the first one was just so, or the second one was so convoluted, and I just remember, like I said, everyone was wearing a mask of everyone else.
Yeah.
They leaned on that a little too hard,
yeah.
And it was very John Woo. That was basically a dove spinning around holding two pistols.
Pretty much.
On film.
But the last 20 minutes of that movie, even though the first hour is kind of slow, is just some of the best, awesome action.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous, but it's awesome.
Yeah, I will be honest, I have not seen
MI2
in more than 2 years.
Okay, I would recommend checking out. Not only do I think it's got great action, but it's beautifully shot.
Huh.
It's a much more beautifully shot film than the first one.
I'll watch it on mute.
Just, okay. it probably worked the same.
Yeah, right?
Pretty close. So Brad Bird Part 4, great movie. It was a huge hit.
Yeah.
And I was worried. Anytime somebody jumps from that 2D, I mean, John Carter is a horrible movie.
Yes.
And it was directed by Andrew, what's his name? He's a guy that he started off in animation. He did
Andrew
Shrek, believe,
won't
right?
be working much
Andrew
anymore.
Won't be working much. Oh, it's good. Andrew Stanton or something like that?
You're giving way too much thought to the director of John Carter.
Yeah, I really am. But the point was, like, he did start off with the Pixar. He just did animated movies. And he tried making that jump into the live action.
Yeah.
And it didn't transition well. So I was like, oh, man, is Brad Bird going to be able to do it? So, yeah, when Mission Impossible happened, you're like, thank you, God. It didn't
happen. He can do it. But then, F you, God, because Tomorrowland is a interesting live-action movie. It maybe would have been a lot better were it animated.
You think so?
I think people would have been like, this is an amazing, amazing animated Pixar movie if it just wasn't live-action.
Okay, so it was Andrew Stanton, and he directed Finding Nemo, WALL-E,
Wow.
Bug's Life. I mean, this guy was killing it for Pixar. He was killing it.
Yeah, I mean, it's and easier because those guys, yeah. Finding Nemo doesn't talk back. You know, he doesn't lock himself in his trailer or anything like that.
Good point, yeah.
And then then Taylor Kitsch gets all moody. You know, he gets.
And the guy who directed Shrek is Andrew Adamson. Uh-huh. He went on to direct a live-action movie called Forbidden Kingdom.
Is that the Cusack one that's about to come out?
What? I don't know what you're talking about.
Oh, my God, there's really?
Kingdom movie
there's
coming
a
out
martial
John
arts Kingdom? Chinese movie with John
yes,
Cusack.
I know what you're talking
something
about.
Dragon, Kingdom, Forbidden.
Now, Forbidden Kingdom was the big pair-up of Jet Li and Jackie Chan for the first time.
Finally.
In an American movie where a kid gets basically like never-ending story to old school China.
Sure.
And it's like a play on all the old school Kung Fu movies. Not a bad movie.
Okay.
But again, another. It
when
wasn't
did it
a hit.
Come out?
Maybe like 4 years ago, five years ago.
Yeah, kind of missed their prime.
They definitely missed their prime.
Yeah.
Again, but like I was trying to get this point across, he did a hit with Mission Impossible. He made the successful jump from animation to live action.
Yeah.
What happened with Tomorrowland?
Well,
do you blame the writing? Do you blame Brad Bird? I mean,
no, I blame Lindelof.
Okay, I was going to ask you, Lindelof,
the most creative guy who needs like a great editor or a partner or something to rein him in because
now he's written Lost. He also did Prometheus.
Yes.
Do you remember anything else he's done on top of your head?
No, those two are the ones that stand out. Two things that are completely full of ideas that just never really
totally
pay off.
Now, as a writer,
yeah,
do these things stick out to you more than the average moviegoer?
I guess so. I'm always watching with the story in mind. Okay. Way more so than the acting performance, although that helps, and then the directing. I'm thinking, what is this story? Why are they telling it? What is the point of this scene? Mm-hmm. And Tomorrowland was raising a lot of those questions, especially what is the point of this scene? And the answer seemed to be, so that they could deliver this chunk of messaging. Capital M.
Gotcha.
Message. Here comes the message.
Well, it's funny because you talk about Lost and Prometheus. Those movies do something that, when I think of Lindelof, he asks questions that he doesn't answer.
Yes. Yeah.
But that wasn't really the case in Tomorrowland.
Right. No, he gives you answers.
He gives you answers, but they don't make sense.
They don't make sense in that world. They make sense from, like, I get the point of view that this movie is coming from.
Yeah, I think its heart's in the right place. I'll say that.
Its heart is totally in the right place. And I think that, again, I think if it was animated, I would take it so much more easily from, like, a talking bear than from Hugh Laurie. I just think like a CG bear saying, like, you humans ruin the world and you don't appreciate it.
Animals versus, like, human nature.
Yes,
movie.
I think that you would totally give it a pass for that. But when it's asking to be taken seriously, and you can't when it is really just serving up the moral on a platter and just saying, here, this is what the movie's about.
Let's talk a little bit about the movie, because I don't want to give away too many spoilers, because it is fairly new still, even though I'm sure not too many people are still going to go see it.
Yeah.
For the first 5-10 minutes of the movie, I was pretty sold on it.
Yes.
I was like, it starts off with a flashback to old school Disney, like in the 50s. Tomorrowland. It's a flashback of a young George Clooney.
How much of a dick is George Clooney's dad that his kid invented a jetpack? He's like, you're wasting your time.
Yeah, and it's just funny to think a kid could even invent that. I mean, I was thinking Rocketeer for the first 10 minutes of the movie. I was like, this is a remake of Rocketeer. This would be amazing.
Oh, good idea.
Right? But I will say, even though I did like that whole opening and the flashback, and I love seeing, like, you know, I love seeing just the olden days revisiting movies.
Yeah.
It just feels like a very romantic time.
What the past thought the future would look like is always fun.
But I did not like this whole, I don't even know what to call it. It's basically Clooney talking to the camera like he's being recorded.
Yep.
Like Blair Witch style, whatever you want to call it.
Found footage movie. Yeah. Uh-oh.
But it just felt very cheap to me, and it just didn't look real. I don't know. It felt very old school Disney at times, which I guess is what they were going for.
Yeah. Did it feel old school Disney? To me, it felt like...
Well, do you remember those old movies that would play on Disney Channel, like the live action ones?
No.
Sometimes they would just address the camera. And it's like, I thought maybe that's what they were going for.
Whoa, never changes. To me, it was like they had a script, and then they got George Clooney signed on, and they're like, we need to give George Clooney more of a plot, because it really seemed like they couldn't decide who the protagonist was.
True.
And dual protagonist movies work if both of them are in the same place at the same time, like any buddy cop movie. But when you have, you know, you're just cutting arbitrarily, it seemed, back and forth from story to story. And then my biggest issue with it is there's really not much Tomorrowland in Tomorrowland.
Yes, that's a good point.
You see Tomorrowland maybe for 5 minutes in its glory and then, you know, 10 minutes in its decrepitness, spoiler alert. But it really was a lot of backwoods walking around.
Yeah, and I've heard some people say this, like, there's a certain point in the movie, and first of all, Clooney doesn't show up for almost, like, 45 minutes into the movie.
Yeah.
It's a long time.
Yeah.
And you're stuck with this character, the young girl, I can't remember the actress's name, but...
Casey. Well, the character's Casey.
Yeah, character's Casey. So, basically, she finds this pin, you've seen from the trailers, gives her, like, this view of this Tomorrowland, and the rest of the movie's her, for the most part, trying to find out where the pin came from and how to get to her places.
Yep.
But there's a point in the movie where it really kind of switched for me. She goes to this old antique toy store.
Yeah.
And it went from, like, a fun adventure-type movie to, like, mystery to, like, Men in Black kind of comedy. Where, like, she comes across these two store owners that are robots.
Well, Key from Key and Peele. I was super excited to see him.
Yeah, because he brings life to any time he shows up in a movie. Yeah. I hear he's the best thing in Pitch Perfect 2, which I haven't seen.
I believe it.
And,
also in that scene, I love that they were just like, we own Star Wars now.
Yeah, oh my God.
Every single piece
Every
of memorabilia.
Every other toy was Star Wars. R2-D2, everything was in there. But in that point, that movie, I was like, the guns just look so over the top, kind of comic, not comic booky, but like old school, like ray guns.
Ray guns. Yeah. I didn't mind that.
You didn't mind that?
What threw me for a loop is they really murder a lot of people.
They do.
For a PG movie. A lot of cops get shot.
That's true.
And it's not...
And they get this... It was that, like, World War... It was like...
Mars Attacks?
No, Mars Attacks, I'm thinking of the World War... War of the Worlds. Where everyone was just getting zapped to dust.
Yeah.
In Steven Spielberg's film. Same thing with these ray guns. They zap somebody and
just
like...
just instant
dust. Turn a cloud of dust.
I mean, it is a PG movie, so it's not like they were going to just bore holes in their chest.
I was
see their
surprised
heart beating.
People were dying.
Yeah. Yeah.
It didn't feel like that kind of movie.
Which I didn't mind. I feel like kids' movies used to be able to kill one or two people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The Goonies, especially, I think someone dies. And
PG back then used to be PG-13.
Yeah.
And before the PG-13 came around.
Yeah, we need more death in children's movies.
I remember growing up, there was a PG movie and they showed a topless girl.
What?
Yeah, it was like, because there was no PG-13, so it was PG and it had a topless girl in it.
That's like the mother load if you're 9 years old.
That's amazing. It was The Sound of Music.
Oh.
No.
I forgot that. It's a deleted scene, huh? So I should get DVDs. Get to see that part.
Another thing I was curious about this movie, and I do a show called Box Office Breakdown every Monday. Check it out. We go over the box office numbers. And we were discussing whether George Clooney was the right person to star in his movie.
No. I mean, sure, he's not bad, but it's a movie for children.
Yeah.
What kid cares about George Clooney?
That's what I'm saying. Like, he's great when it comes to the dramas and, like, bringing the adult audience out.
Yeah.
But why not cast someone like Jim Carrey in this movie?
Well, I think that's the same issue. Who cares about Jim Carrey?
The kids and adults, I could see him doing more with that role and infusing his comedy into it to make it more of a fun adventure kind of film.
Right.
I feel like George Clooney doesn't really bring that. And families, you know, Jim Carrey has done quite a few family movies. He has those Mr. Popper's Penguins and all these movies. He's still associated with that, I feel like, a little bit more.
You're right.
I'm just throwing his name out there.
Right. That's an interesting take. But, like, the character was such a curmudgeon, you know. And George Clooney's so charming. And they really had him going against type, having, like, zero fun.
Yeah. I wonder if it was Jim Carrey, if he would have brought some humor to it.
I think it should have been Harry Styles from One Direction.
Styles from Run Direction.
Yeah, just something to really pack the kids in. I just think it was less.
I don't even know them.
It shouldn't have been Harry Styles, but it should have been someone that that a kid knows and recognizes from a pure box office perspective. Like, what kid says, like, oh, I loved him was that bank robbing movie with J-Lo?
I don't know. Out of Sight?
Out of Sight, yeah. I loved him in Out of Sight.
I love Out of Sight. Good night.
But I think that the reason no one saw this is no one knew what it was about. And I don't think the movie knew what it was about either.
But that was their sell. Like, it was kind of that J.J. Abrams style where, like, we're not going to tell you everything. Come to see the movie.
Yeah.
And when the mystery isn't really that interesting,
yeah,
kind of hurts your movie.
You're right. That probably was the best way to market it, because they saw the movie and they're like, ooh, we don't really have something grand on our hands. Let's make it a mystery.
I questioned the whole George Clooney thing. Also, do you remember the show Small Wonder?
Of course. Oh, yeah. Lifting the couch up over her head.
This was actually started off as a Small Wonder movie, and they changed the script to Tomorrowland.
That was so... Oh, man. You know that show was on for 4 years?
Was it really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. I just remember that she had that polka dot dress and...
Yeah, and yeah. no one knew she was a robot, yeah. even though she talked like a robot.
She was basically a robot. And
lot of that in the 80s of like, oh, we have an alien like yeah. that we can't reveal or that's joined our family.
And the reason I bring that up, because a character is introduced in the movie who's a little girl that happens to be a robot. I'm yes. not going to tell you who. But I was like, oh, this is like Small Wonder.
Yeah. Small Wonder.
Oh, God. There's a movie with Kirk Cameron where he plays a robot.
Oh, does he now?
Do you remember this movie?
No, I'm not familiar with it.
It was like a Lifetime. It might have been a Disney movie where he plays a robot. God help me, I'm going to find this movie.
I'm still thinking of Small Wonder. That had a fantastic intro sequence that was really the inspiration for Too Many Cooks, because it was just the ultimate turn
yes.
and face the camera, and then you see the name, and everyone's doing like, oh, I'm eating a sandwich that's too big, whoa.
You're totally right. Okay, so, man, Kirk Cameron has done a lot of, actually, he's done a lot of Disney. Speaking of old school Disney, Herbie the Love Bug, he was in Beyond Witch Mountain. Wow.
Wow, all the hits.
You know what? I can't find the movie. I know it's in here somewhere. Grown Pains. It's killing me. Left Behind's
Left Behind. Oh.
I can't remember the movie. But guys, he was in a movie back in the day where he played a robot just like this little girl did. And I don't know why it just entered my head right now.
Well, you said tangents are allowed. So yeah, we went down a Kirk Cameron IMDb hole. Yeah. It happens. Sometimes okay. you find yourself there.
Let me ask you this. Brad Bird is actually going to go back and do The Incredibles.
Cool.
Are you excited for a sequel to that movie?
Yeah.
Do you feel like it needs one?
Well, I mean, as long as it's kind of a it's a send-up and it's playing with the tropes of superhero movies and superhero culture, a big part of that is the sequel.
Very good point.
And it kind of was the origin story. Now we get to see what happens next. So I don't know if there's been any plot released or anything like that. But, of course, yeah, Brad Bird, Incredibles, it worked once.
That's a good point. I mean, that's what a sequel is supposed to do. That's why you make a sequel, because it works once.
Yeah, because post-Tomorrowland, you might need to go back to your roots.
Yeah, has there ever been a sequel that you felt was just completely unnecessary? Even though...
Oh, most of them, right?
I'm saying of a movie that you really liked. Not, because obviously there's bad remakes, bad movies.
No, it's, for me, it's the reboots that really get me.
The reboots, okay.
Yeah, I can handle a bad sequel. Like, I'll watch RoboCop 2 a million times before I'll watch RoboCop.
That's a good point.
RoboCop New.
That's a great point. Wow, RoboCop 2, that kid who's like hanging with these drug dealers.
Yeah.
And
I love that, with the blue velvet, the patch drugs, and bigger robots. Yeah, I'm willing to watch them try something new way before I'm willing to watch them try the same thing again.
That's a good point. Would you like to see him go back to Mission Impossible, or do you like how that series is just going different director every time?
Yeah, I'm into that.
Even though you're not a huge John Woo fan.
Well, that's fine because they replaced him with JJ. I'm cool with Mission Impossible being, it's Tom Cruise's franchise.
Yeah.
You can plug and play any director in there, and it's always going to have him hanging from something, running after something, and yelling at something.
Very true. So you think Brad Bird's, obviously, listen, Incredibles is a guaranteed hit.
Yes.
If you were going to, say you were his agent.
Okay.
Spencer, you're calling up. You're calling up Brad. I'll be Brad.
Brad.
We're going to do a little improv. You're calling me up, and I'm like, I want to do a live-action movie. What should I do, Spence? What kind of movie should I do?
Oh, man. You know, I don't think he should. What I would have said is we've got Tomorrowland. We got this great picture for Tomorrowland. We want to make it a CGI. That would have been the perfect pitch for him.
Okay.
But what he should do live-action-wise is...
should he attach himself to our franchise?
Stick with kids, though. I think with Wonder, with kids.
Well, Tomorrowland was a kids' movie.
Yeah.
Is that what you're talking about? Are you talking about, like, kids as the protagonist?
That's still, you know, that's one strike out of, you know, a lot of hits.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that if he wants to take on another kids' franchise, if he wants to take, like... a Captain Planet movie, if he wants to take on some kid's cartoon and make it into a big feature, I think that's his safest play.
Okay. I hate movies that include CGI characters with humans.
Okay.
Smurfs.
Smurfs. Well, sure, Smurfs, but,
Yogi
you know.
Yogi the Bear.
Okay, Lord of the Rings.
Scooby-Doo.
Gollum.
I'm saying for kids' movies.
Okay.
Scooby-Doo.
Yeah.
Smurfs. Like, is there a movie where you think he could pull that off, where it's a person...
I think today we have the technology, and I really think that today, meaning only in the last couple of years.
Okay.
Now that
Planet of the Apes is what
Planet of the Apes, what really did is performance capture, is where they got the cameras, you know, pointed back at the person's face, they're covered in dots, and you can capture the expressiveness of a character. But yeah, they should really just use a real Great Dane for Scooby-Doo.
What would you pitch, like, if you could have him do a property like Scooby-Doo or Smurfs, where you integrate, you know what, I think they just, you know what, I'm going to answer my own question here.
Uh-huh.
They just announced the Winnie the Pooh movie.
Okay.
That's going to be mixed with live action and CG.
Okay.
How do you think that, you think you can pull that off?
I think it's kind of a waste of his talents. Winnie the Pooh.
Okay. I understand that.
Winnie the Pooh is such a kid's movie. And you want that to be for little children.
Okay. So you want something with a little more gravitas.
I would say he should have been doing the Peanuts movie.
Oh, really?
That would have been good.
Interesting.
Yeah.
The funny thing about that is, like, I think the movies he has done animated do have some levity to it. Like,
yeah.
Iron Giant, I hear, does have some dark, dramatic moments.
Exactly.
So you want something where he can express that.
He could do both sides, yeah. Both sides of the emotional spectrum, for sure.
You ever see the Yogi Bear movie?
You know, I skipped that one.
It's horrible. Dan Aykroyd and, like, I think Justin Timberlake played Boo Boo.
Oh,
this is
no.
a real thing, people.
Oh, wow. Gotta check that
I
out.
I mean, I can't, I think who played, I think Jason Lee might have played.
Of course he
no,
did.
No, I'm sorry. Boo Boo was played by the T.J. Miller.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
I can't remember who Justin Timberlake played. I can swear he played something in the movie. I could be wrong.
Yogi.
We're spending too much time on this.
Wait, that does not sound like T.J. Miller.
But Yogi, the forest ranger.
I can't even do T.J. Miller.
Pretty good.
Yeah, I'm just wondering how those two connected. Well, gotta check that out.
Wow, interesting.
I was just watching some test footage of Billy Crystal testing for Buzz Lightyear.
What?
That would have been a different
film.
Was
he animated differently?
Yes. Well, no, it was actually Pixar wanted him to do the movie, so they redubbed one of his monologues from Harry Met Sally with an animatic of Buzz Lightyear. It's terrifying.
Wow, that does sound terrifying.
Yeah.
Billy Crystal, he's never really done an animated.
Well, Monsters, Inc. He's,
that's right.
He's Mike.
He's Sully.
Or Sully, yeah.
That's right. I was trying to think, I think Rob Williams did Aladdin. But yeah, and even Whoopi Goldberg did Lion King.
Yes.
She was one of the jackals. Yeah, that's right. I forgot about Sully. Oh, man. Pixar. I wish you would just make Pixar movies.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard because I did love Mission Impossible, but like I think you said, it was a machine.
Yes.
It just kind of came in. One thing I will say about Tomorrowland, even though I don't think it's a very good movie, I think it's enjoyable. I would recommend a rental or a matinee.
Well, I would recommend seeing it in theaters, but then not renting it, because that's one of the movies that does not translate on your little TV or on your iPad.
Point.
What I loved about it was how huge and over-the-top the visuals were.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Brad Bird is a good director.
Yes.
I don't really blame Brad Bird for the movie. You have to blame some of them. But as far as like directing and scope and just like the scenes,
there were three or four amazing sequences
in
that movie that you should see in IMAX.
The house scene is like the one.
The house scene's incredible, And
Very
then
cool.
the tracking shot through Tomorrowland is great.
Yep.
And then when they fight the big floating orb at the end, it's really stupid and terrible. And
yeah,
it doesn't make
giant,
any sense. There's a lot of
giant robots.
A lot of questions about that movie that I'm sure the honest trailer will bring up. But,
oh man, I can't wait for that.
Yeah.
That's gotta be in the pipeline.
that's in the chamber. It'll come.
Perfect. Now, let me ask you some behind the scenes a little bit before we get into quick things. Honest trailers. How long have you been on the show now?
2 years?
2 years.
Yeah.
Wow.
I've been doing it for 2 years.
Out of all the ones you've done and written, which one is the one you would like? You said you can only show me one episode of Honest Trailers, which is the one you would show me?
Probably speaking of animation, I'd go Lion King.
Really? Okay.
Because that is a beloved movie.
Yep.
That we still managed to find funny things to say about, which I'm always more proud of being able to do that than to just shit on the leprechaun for 3 minutes.
Yeah.
It's not really a challenge.
We did a live watch of, what was it,
Leprechaun
Space?
In Space.
I hadn't seen that movie, and just being in the booth engineering that show, could not believe how bad that movie was.
Yeah,
that's
been taken down off of YouTube. We got a little boost up. Yeah.
Did you guys take it off?
We lost the rights to The Leprechaun in Space.
Oh, no.
So as went the movie. I was the most drunk of everyone here. So I'm not too sad that it's not on the internet anymore. But I'm always happy when we can do a fun angle or a new angle on something that everyone loves. Which I think we pulled off with The Lion King. And then we did something extra, which was do the parody songs, and that's always really fun.
I love when you guys do the parody songs. Like, your Boyhood one was unbelievable.
Thank you.
I couldn't believe how, I was just like, God, this is genius.
Yeah, we were really stuck on that trailer. Then we realized, let's do something different and just imitate that trailer instead of a generic kind of 80s, 90s movie trailer, which is what they usually are.
So good. I mean, I hate I love Ashura's, but I hate it because I'm like, why didn't I think of that? That's so freaking smart.
Aw, take that as a compliment. Thank
you
so much.
Yeah, it is a compliment. It is. All right, so, well, this has been great. But as I like to end my shows with quick things. So
quick things.
Yes, quick things. I should get like a sound drop for that.
You really should.
Quick things.
Quick things.
I want a little more Asian-y. Make it like a karate. Like, oh, quick things. Or breaking a board or something. I'll work on that, everybody. I'll get something.
We're on it.
We're on it. So I tweeted out, what's the last movie you watched? Let's see what some of the people said.
Let's see if I've seen them.
This is always interesting.
Can I pass?
You cannot.
Okay.
here we go. Tyler Myers, who's a big fan of Schmoville. Just Tyler Myers, you're the best. Thanks for all your posts on our 200th show. We just did a 200th show.
I've seen, yeah. Congratulations.
Tyler's the best. He saw a movie I love, and I don't hear enough people talk about, Win-Win.
What?
Win-Win.
Win-Win?
Win-Win.
Win.
Paul Giamatti.
Is that like Wang Wang, the little Indonesian midget spy?
No, Win-Win.
Win-Win. Okay, I'm familiar with that, but do look up Wang Wang. W-E-N-G-W-E-N-G.
I will. I can't wait. You've not heard of this movie?
No.
Okay, this is a great movie. This actually made my top 10 movies of the year it came out.
Okay.
It stars Paul Giamatti.
Yeah.
It's about a young kid who joins Giamatti's family because his parents are like splitting up. And Paul Giamatti plays this wrestling coach.
Okay.
And he brings this kid into the game because he sees the kid needs something in his life. So he brings him in. He starts teaching him how to wrestle. The kid's like
wrestling.
Kid's a natural.
Okay.
So, but I don't want to sell it as
a
sports
prequel
movie.
To Foxcatcher.
Yes. I don't want to sell it as like a sports movie. It's really a family drama. And the wrestling kind of takes a backseat. But it's a great, one of those great, like, sideways type movies where it's a drama at times and it's a comedy at times.
Cool.
And Paul Giamatti, just, that guy does no wrong in my eyes. He's never done bad.
Okay.
Even in bad movies like San Andreas,
he'll take a paycheck, but he's still great.
But I remember watching San Andreas with The Rock. I said, man, Paul Giamatti should have been in that movie more.
Yeah.
I was so much more invested when he was on screen more than I was with The Rock. I highly recommend checking out Win-Win.
Okay,
Win-Win. It's not just like, you know, it's a really good movie.
Got it. I always like really good movies, but I do highly recommend Wang Wang.
Wang Wang. I feel like there's a Wang Wang on the corner of like my street. So I was like, I think it's a buffet.
That's Wing Wing.
That's Wing Wing. Oh, yeah. Oh, here we go. Mathis Man at Spiritual Banana. Planes, Trains, Automobiles.
Oh.
Maybe my favorite John Hughes movie.
The best. Well, not my favorite John Hughes movie, but
might
my favorite
mine.
John Candy movie.
Yes, definitely favorite John Candy movie. Favorite John Hughes movie?
No. Oh, well.
What is?
Breakfast Club.
Breakfast Club. Wow.
Yeah.
I always thought maybe Ferris Bueller.
Yeah, I mean, that's... Breakfast Club is so universal. I love them both. It's tough to choose. But
that's tough.
If you've been to high school, you know The Breakfast Club. And I love that they did the, like... They did the one location. They made a compelling movie in a box in detention. That's
true.
It's an amazing craft to pull that off.
I see your writing aspect is coming into that.
Right. It's like a play. You can do that on stage.
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking. Like, as you as a writer, you're like, oh, this is a fantastic word.
Yeah.
I just love Pain, Change, All Wheels. But
so good.
So good.
That's on Netflix. Check that out.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Yeah. Well, it's amazing.
Steve Martin as a straight man, which is...
An angry guy.
Yeah, an angry guy. You don't see that often.
Oh, the scene where he goes, I want my fucking car right fucking now. It's like that. Oh, no, you can take that fucking smile off your rose.
Oh, so good.
That's the best. Here we go. Last movie I watched, we talked about this a little bit earlier, The War of the Worlds, the 1953 version. We talked about the Spielberg version.
Yeah.
But did you grow up with the 1953 version?
No, I grew up, quote-unquote, with the Spielberg version.
Next one.
did they still get a space flu at the end?
They do, but it's much, well, better handled. I grew up watching War of the Worlds 1950 version. It still holds up, in my opinion.
Okay.
I would check it out. It's probably on, you know, the classic movie channel.
It's definitely. See, there's another gap. I definitely have to see that. But I watched the Spielberg one. I was like, I'm not too thrilled
I can understand
watching
that.
This again.
Here's Jamie Habetz. Hey, Habet. Jamie Twitt. J.J. Abrams, Star Trek.
Oh.
Did you like that reboot?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, I did too.
I really did.
I was not a Star Trek fan growing up, which will get you some hate here in the Screen Junkies office, because Jason Inman and Dan Murrow are huge Star Trek fans. Never watched it growing up.
Yeah, I loved Star Trek when it was on. It was something that I watched mm-hmm. casually, and I was like,
oh, really?
Great, yeah.
So you watched the show?
I did watch some of the
shows. Like Generations or like...
I watched Voyager, and I watched Next Generation. Those are the ones that were on in my era.
Just for a point of fact, I have no idea what the difference between those two are.
Okay.
I just know those are the titles.
New captain, new ship.
Which one's with Professor X?
Professor X is Next Generation.
Okay, Next Generation.
Yeah. He can walk now. It's cool.
Yeah. Okay.
But I think that, Star Trek, the movie, was like a really fun action movie. The opening sequence is incredible. But it's just not what Star Trek fans love, which is... being up its own butt and philosophizing and monologuing, but that doesn't really translate well to a movie, as the Star Trek movies proved beforehand.
Totally.
You got to make some sacrifices to take that to the big screen.
Totally agree. I still liked it for somebody who wasn't a Star Trek fan. Yeah. Is because it was different from the original Star Trek.
Lens flares.
Yes. Oh, please, lens flares. Let's see. We got some more. Some people just tweeting some in. Oh, here's a good one. At Zimzabimbim.
Zimzabimbim.
He's from Africa. Untouchables.
Untouchables. Which one was that?
Come on, man.
That's the...
Kevin Costner.
Yeah.
Sean Connery. Robert De Niro as Al Capone. Have you not seen Untouchables?
I don't think I've seen Untouchables. Ah! I'm confusing it with Tombstone.
Tombstone. No, that's a totally different movie.
Yeah.
The Chicago Way.
Okay.
That was a horrible Sean Connery.
The Chicago Way.
Yeah, there you go. You're better than me.
I am the last one.
Okay, first of all, you have not seen Untouchables. You need to go watch that movie immediately.
Okay.
Kevin Costner, directed by Brian De Palma. Al Capone, played by Robert De Niro. Small role, but still amazing.
Really? Robert De Niro did a mob movie? That's crazy.
have you at least seen like the famous scene where he just talks about how we all got to be a team? He's walking around with a baseball bat.
No.
Then he just bashes some guy's head in.
Whoa.
With a baseball bat.
Okay.
He's like, I want him dead. I want his family dead.
Oh, yeah,
then
yeah,
I want
yeah,
to burn
yeah,
ashes.
Yeah.
I want to piss out a grave.
Yeah. They all start to blend together like Casino, Goodfellas. Like, I'm not a mob movie guy.
That's three.
Yeah.
It's not that many.
Well, Godfather.
okay. Once Upon a Time, America.
American Hustle. Robert De Niro just plays a lot of gangsters.
Okay. I can't believe I said Untouchables. That hurts me. First of all, I don't even want to talk about this. Avery Hanks saw Black Hat. I'm sorry.
Black Hat.
I don't know why you watched that. Did you see it?
I saw enough of it to know that I did not want to go see it. I took one look at Chris Hemsworth, and I said, that guy looks like a hacker. He looks like a computer hacker, a guy that just stays inside a lot. I hope the first thing that movie did was explain how many push-ups he did in prison, because there's no way, if you go to any, like, you know, DEF CON conference or something like that, and you look around, no one's looking like Chris Hemsworth.
I wrote a script about an animated movie about Abraham Lincoln's hat.
Okay.
And I called it Black Hat.
Congratulations.
I got that script away now. That's not true. I had Brad Bird optioning it.
Brad Bird was optioning it, yeah. I signed an NDA. I can't talk about Black Hat.
All right, let's do one more here. There's a film that a lot of people really loved, and this is from Eric at Ericker1416, The Way, Way Back.
The Way, Way Back.
With Steve Carell. Did you see this?
No. What was The Way, Way Back?
Do you see movies, Spencer? you didn't see this. It came out last year?
Yeah.
Or a year and a half ago? It's with Steve Carell, kind of played kind of the bad guy.
Okay.
He played like a evil stepfather.
Okay.
Sam Rockwell is really the star of this movie.
Sam Rockwell.
Yeah, this kid goes to this small town in Maine, New Hampshire. It's like takes place during the summer, and he starts working at this water park that Sam Rockwell owns. The same guys that wrote in Little Miss Sunshine wrote this film.
Oh,
also.
Well, then I'm in with Steve Carell.
And they directed it. It was the guy from the Community.
Okay.
Rash, Jim Rash.
Yeah.
Yeah, he directed it with his friend, and they got this movie because of how good Little Miss Sunshine did for them. Because
it sounds, like, unmakeable, because the plot is very,
It sounds very much like an 80s kind of plot, right? And it's a throwback. It feels a little bit of a throwback to those kind of movies, but with great writing, great characters, and it's great. Steve Carell could play a real asshole.
See, these are exactly the type of movies I should be seeing, but like I have to rewatch.
Instead, you're watching One Third of Black Hat.
I'm watching One Third of Black Hat, but for honest trailers, it's always like we're gonna do Terminator, we're gonna do Green Lantern,
you're watching all these.
I'm
things
watching
over?
All the capes and just pure comic book culture is really our bread and butter. But I should, I don't get a chance to see as many of these good movies that I should be watching.
I try to eliminate the crap out of my movie watching.
Yeah. I have to go face first into crap on a weekly basis. I wanted to watch Avatar: The Last Airbender? Do you think I enjoyed that?
This must have made you appreciate these movies more, though.
When I see a good movie, it's like a relief. It's just a relief when I'm like in good hands and it's not a Michael Bay Transformers sequel. I'm just so happy.
All right, that's going to be the last quick thanks. I'm really curious about this because now that I've gotten to know a little bit of your... One thing I love about the show is I get to know a little bit about the person and their taste in movies.
Yeah.
And kind of, you know, get an idea where they... You know, what their film buffery is. I don't feel like I got a great grasp on you yet.
Okay.
Give me some of your all-time favorite films, just at the very end of the show here. I'll give you the cliche dessert island.
Okay.
I'm throwing you on a dessert island.
The dessert island, just dessert.
A solar.
I get brownies and a couple movies.
That's like Homer.
Oh, yeah.
You remember that?
Land of Chocolate.
Yes, Land of Chocolate. No, but like, okay, I'm throwing you on a deserted island.
Yes.
Where all the dessert's been eaten.
Damn.
Just empty bowls and spoons everywhere. And I'm giving you a solar-powered TV/DVD player.
Sweet.
So you get to watch it.
Yeah.
You have to bring 5 DVDs with you.
5 DVDs.
Not digital.
Yeah, I can't download
digital
it.
Digital codes wouldn't help you out there.
Okay. So I'm going to cover my bases.
Okay. Comedy, action, you're going to kind of go that way?
I'll do. So my favorite movie, probably Harold and Maude. Going to take
wow.
that one. Yeah.
Okay.
Love that film.
See, that tells me a lot right there.
I'm going to bring... for something stupid, I'm going to bring Step Brothers when I just need to forget that
okay.
I'm on a deserted island.
Wow, Step Brothers.
I didn't turn that
on.
Movie. I'm going to bring Spaceballs because that was my Star Wars.
All comedy so far.
So far,
okay.
Yeah.
Spaceballs,
yeah. Oh, you're right.
Step
I should.
Brothers? No, it's okay.
But I don't need to be reminded of the pain of life when I'm on a deserted island.
Okay.
Let's see. So last two. I'll bring The Shining because I can just unpick it for the rest of my life.
Love The Shining.
Yeah.
Great.
And then I'll bring Space Jam because what movie? Because I just want it for the song, really. I just want to play the song over and over again so I won't sink into a deep depression.
I feel like, you know, there's that pull in the island where you question whether you want to live or not. That's when you throw Space Jam. Like,
that's
no,
my dream project is to
go.
Remake Space Jam.
First of all,
with Michael B. Jordan.
You failed the test number one because you always bring Castaway.
Oh!
Just for learning.
Well, I think you bring as many DVDs as possible so that you can start a fire with them.
There you go.
You
or
kindling.
Build a house.
Yeah, exactly.
Those are all good answers. I mean, I'm not surprised to hear you have so many comedies because, listen, you're right. Honestly,
you're right. I'm not a film buff. I'm a comedy
writer
that
yeah.
happens to watch a fair amount of movies. Enough movies to
yeah.
have a fun take on them.
Okay, no, but that's great.
Dan and Andy are the real... real geeks
the real
on the squad.
Geeks?
Yeah.
All right. Well, Dan's coming up on the show very soon. I'm trying to get Andy on.
Oh, yeah. You know,
it's hard to corner him.
He's like a hummingbird. He goes from project to project, office to office. Tough to track him down.
I love Andy because he has that beard, that which reminds me of that episode of Family Guy where he had a beard.
Yeah.
And I just want to see if there's birds in there. I feel like there's a nest of birds in there.
It's pretty majestic.
It's pretty great. All right, Spencer. Well, this was great. Thanks so much for coming on. Do me a favor. Tell these people where they can find you on social media.
Oh, at Spencer J. Gilbert. Don't go to Spencer G. Gilbert. He's a he's a ruffian and a thief, and I don't trust him.
Yeah,
Spencer J. Gilbert, and just keep watching Screen Junkies, YouTube.com.
I'm creating a Spencer G. Gilbert account.
Parody account. This is a parody account.
It's going to be you, and not how you like just like plug a gangster head on you and like a chain. Perfect. Guys, you can catch me at Schmoes JTE. Catch me every Monday on Box Office Breakdown live and on YouTube. It's usually around 12:30 in the afternoon. Sometimes we start late. Love that show with Finstock and Sarah Stratton. Catch me every Thursday live from 6 to 8 on the Schmoes No Movie Show. We just celebrated our 200th episode. It was a blast. Go check it out. Some great people come back and talk about the show. I had a great time doing it.
Do all those things. The
yeah.
Schmoes actually know their movies.
Yeah.
Like the Screen Junkies that just shit on them.
Good point. And do me a favor, if you're listening to this on iTunes, go ahead and give me a 5-star rating if you feel like I gave you a 5-star podcast.
Yeah.
I think we did.
4.5. You know, round up.
Yeah, first person not to give you the full 5. Everyone's like, yeah, give them the 5. Spencer's like, 4.5. Yeah, that's because I didn't see Iron Giant, so I'll agree with you on that
there
one.
There you go.
And then, yeah, do me a favor, leave a comment. Say, hey, you know, great job, or tell me some movie you watch, and maybe we'll discuss it on the show. That's going to do it. Thanks again, Spencer. Thank you guys for listening to JT Movie Thanks. Stay tuned for our episode next week.
Thanks for having me.
Peace.